top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the midday news for today, Friday, March 1st, in the headlines. After 24 years of DLP government, Tourism Minister Dennis Charles now says Dominica is in a promising phase with capital investment on the way, and she's expecting major returns in a few years.
Q95DA.com.
Haiti's Prime Minister Ariel Henry has agreed to hold national elections by mid-2025 amid ongoing efforts to secure foreign assistance to combat gang violence in the country. And President Joe Biden challenged Donald Trump to assist in removing obstacles hindering a congressional proposal aimed at reducing migrant crossing at sovereign U.S. state borders. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited.
Get ready for You can shop now, pay nothing down, and your first payment isn't until April!
Now that's a deal you don't want to miss!
We've got incredible discounts waiting for you! Enjoy up to 40% off on select appliances, furniture, mattresses, televisions, and more! And with Co-op's Ready Finance, you pay absolutely nothing until April! It's a deal so sweet, it's hard to resist. Indulge in the joy of savings at Courts. But this fantastic deal won't last forever. Promotion ends on February 29th, 2024. Special conditions apply. Courts, bringing value home.
Tourism Minister Dennis Charles criticizes the hashtag Do Nothing Day initiative set to be observed on Monday next week, warning against the dangers of any political party encouraging citizens to be unproductive. She emphasized the proverbial wisdom that lazy hands leads to poverty. After 24 years of governance by the DLP administration, Charles claims Dominica is now at a promising phase with significant capital investments on the way, and she anticipates significant returns to materialize within a few years.
You have to love Dominica first. And any political party who can advise the citizens of its country to do nothing, to do no work, to become lazy and unproductive, it is very dangerous. You know what the Bible says about lazy hands should lead to poverty, that diligent hands make wealth, but lazy hands lead to poverty. That is the word of God. And we call ourselves a Christian nation. And most of the times we're making these statements in our rallies or meetings. When they're making those statements, they're calling God's name, you know. They even had pastor co-hosting their platforms and endorsing these ridiculous statements. And that, we have to be very careful with that. We are in a prime time in our country because we are making significant capital investments that we're going to recognize the returns on in a few years. What we need now is an increase in production. We need farmers to plant. We need people to invest. We have to increase in agro-processing, I agree. And that is why the government, even in the last budget, we made provision to do a manufacturing plant. We are focused on increasing productivity. But things happen in phases, and then there are events that happen beyond your control. So at times you are delayed at a government to implement some critical projects and programs you want to do. But what I can tell you is that our country is on the right path. We have to stay focused.
Charles emphasized that any responsible opposition would advocate for citizens to develop multiple streams of income. She underscored the importance of positioning oneself to take advantage of the anticipated growth in the country.
All over the world, people are experiencing a little bit of hardship because it is normal. You're recovering from a pandemic where the world was on hold for almost 2 years. And then when you thought, okay, you only had to deal with the pandemic, you are hearing about wars. You have wars going on. You have two major wars going on. So all these things impact supplies. and will cause inflation. It is not within the government's control. But what we have to focus on is advise people, how do you increase your revenue? And that is why when I speak to my constituents, I say, you see, in these days, you have to think of multiple stream of incomes like many Dominicans are doing. There are many Dominicans who have Airbnb properties. They have their homes, they have their permanent job, but they're renting properties. That is why what any responsible opposition should be encouraging people. There is going to be growth in the country. Position yourself to take advantage of that growth. Make the investments where you can have complementary businesses and needed businesses to support the growth. But no, that is not what we are hearing from the opposition. And that has always been the case with the opposition in Dominica. I listen to other radio stations, Antigua, Grenada. And when you see something is good for the country, they support it. But this does not happen in Dominica.
And that was Tourism Minister Dennis Charles. Finance consultant Felix Thomas stresses the need to introduce financial literacy to children early on so as to ensure they are financially aware as adults. He recommends opening saving accounts for children as a prudent strategy aimed at fostering wealth enhancement or creation through investments.
Basically, starting by designating an account specifically just for that child, you know, so that way you know that every single dollar that you put in that account is just for that child. Now, one way that I like to look at dollars is as being as your dollars, they're an army, and each dollar is a single soldier.
Yes.
And what you're doing, yeah. And basically what you're doing is every single dollar, you basically teach those dollars to go and recruit more soldiers, right? So that it actually builds. And that is basically the way you do generate wealth. So with that account, you have to make sure it's an account that by the most basic means is something that is going to earn a substantial interest, you know, amount. So whatever tool that you have available in whichever country you are, you know, in Canada here, we have what is called an RESP, where you can actually invest that money and the government does provide some kind of assistance in the way of a grant just because you're putting money into it.
Thomas also advocates for automatic contributions to savings accounts rather than solely rely on one's commitment to ensure regular, consistent contributions to savings account.
I know that Dominica does have accounts that do earn interest and also dividends at like the credit unions. So if you actually have it in an account like that, then you basically have your soldiers recruiting more soldiers for you without you having to worry about anything else except just making a contribution to it on a frequent basis. Now, as far as frequent basis, what I always advise my clients to do is set up an automatic contribution, because the thing is, you cannot trust your mind to actually always go and manually contribute that money into the account. That just won't happen. Every Friday, you will not do that. You'll probably end up in a bar and totally forget it one of those Fridays, right? But if it's automatic, then, you know, it's out of sight, out of mind. It happens, and it's earning that interest there for you, right? And for your child. The other thing to do is when your child actually reaches an age where they do understand proper English and they have, you know, like they have a good level of common sense, you could actually just show them what you're actually doing for them as well. Because that way you're actually introducing them to money, right? Seeing what, okay, from that age, they're seeing, okay, this is what mom is doing. This is what dad is doing for me. And this is the reason behind what they're doing. Basically, as you know, kids actually learn by example and they imitate.
Felix Thomas, Junior Consultant and IG Wealth Management. Tracy Polias, Chief Director of Policy at the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank, ECCB, has highlighted the ECCB's objective to decrease the divide between the regulation and supervision of non-banking financial institutions. This includes advocating for individual country regulators within the region to oversee non-bank sectors rather than relying solely on regional oversight.
One principle is that we want to minimize the separation between regulation and supervision. And the way we hope to achieve that is that while the regulations would be done at the center, at the regional level, we will ensure that the national regulators continue to supervise the non-bank financial sector. And minimizing the separation between regulation and supervision would mean that those national regulators would participate in some way at the regional level in the establishment of those guidelines and standards that they are going to be using for supervision. So that's the main principle upon which we hope to design the regional standard setting body.
Dr. Polias emphasizes another crucial principle that must be pursued is to establish the mandate of the body through legislation, ensuring that an agreement is reached that enables the mandate to be ratified by parliament of each country.
All ECCU countries have national regulators that are right now responsible for regulation and supervision of the non-bank financial sector. The second thing that must happen is that the mandate of the regional standard setting body must be established in law, and we hope that can be established through agreement, and that agreement would be, the mandate would be given through an act of parliament in each parliament for every member country. The Monetary Council has directed the central bank to consult with stakeholders to ensure that the design for the regional standard setting body is fit for purpose. Therefore, the next step is to consult with our member countries on the design for the regional standard setting body. We hope to meet with the Ministries of Finance, the Attorney General's Chambers or Parliamentary Councils, as well as the national regulators to ensure that the design is fit for purpose and that we address all aspects of the regulatory process.
And that was Tracy Polias, Chief Director of Policy at the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. The Caribbean community, CARICOM, remains deeply distressed by ongoing violence and deterioration situation in Gaza, which has resulted in the tragic loss of civilian lives, including the deaths of women and children, on an unprecedented scale and the widespread displacement and suffering. CARICOM reiterates its strong condemnation of the attacks by Hamas and the taking of hostages on the 7th of October 2023, as well as of Israeli actions that violate international humanitarian law and the human rights of the Palestinian people. The incessant Israeli bombardment of Gaza has led to catastrophic loss of civilian lives, the destruction of critical infrastructure, and the deprivation of basic necessities, food, water, and medical care. In this regard, CARICOM urges an immediate and unconditional ceasefire in Gaza, and a safe and unimpeded access for delivery of adequate and sustained humanitarian assistance. You can read more on this story on our website, that's www.q95de.com. Magistrate Gloria Augustus shared her perspective on poverty, expressing her belief that certain individuals have the potential to rise above the poverty line. According to her, this possibility hinges on both external support from the community and the individual's internal drive to reach their full potential and transcend the challenges of poverty. Magistrate Augustus highlighted the crucial role that community support and social connections play in enabling individuals to overcome poverty.
But I think there are lots of people with potential who could cross from poverty, who could cross over, but it has to do with, one, the support that they get, their community life, how they socialize, their social issues, and also has to do something in terms of they as an individual, what do they want? Because sometimes you can get yourself out of a situation, but you have to, you might need support, but it also has to do with, do you want it, and do you want it that bad? And sometimes you have talents that you don't recognize or you don't use in the right way. So it's not just looking at just poverty, but there are areas where persons can get out of poverty. In fact, just recently in Trinidad, we know that there was this calypso where, there has been calypsos linking poverty to violence and crime. Mm-hmm. And just this year, Karen Ashe sang a song, she came first, and she said, poverty is no excuse for crime, you know? And one of the things that they highlighted, there's an area in Trinidad, Lavantil area, so sort of like, yeah, some areas are ghetto, that were quote-unquote ghetto, And I think they highlighted recently there was a young man from Lavantil who went and he learned and he recently graduated as a lawyer, and they sort of highlighted that to show that, hey, it doesn't mean that because you come from Lavantil you have to be in the gang mood.
Magistrate Gloria Augustus. In other news, Haiti's Prime Minister Ariel Henry has committed to holding general elections by mid-2025 as the international community seeks to secure foreign assistance to address gang violence in the country. Despite the reluctance of the U.S. to deploy its own forces, it is willing to provide financial support for other troops. The decision was made following a four-day summit in Guyana, where members of the CARICOM Regional Trade Bloc emphasized the urgency of holding elections and collaborating with opposition groups and civil society to achieve this objective. In a joint statement, CARICOM heads expressed deep concern over Haiti's deteriorating security, humanitarian and political situation, which has hindered the possibility of free and fair elections. They underscored the need for a clear, participatory and inclusive political path forward. To support Haiti's electoral process, CARICOM, along with the United Nations, the United States, Canada and the Organization of American States, will lead an assessment team. This committee will report back by March 31st with recommendations for election planning in Haiti. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Linda Thomas-Greenfield announced that Benin will contribute 2,000 troops to assist in the multinational security force led by Kenya, aimed at curbing gang violence in Haiti. The mission aims to restore peace, facilitate free and fair elections, and address the humanitarian crisis excavated by gang violence. And President Joe Biden urged Donald Trump on Thursday to assist in resolving a stalled congressional proposal aimed at reducing migrant crossing. This plea came as both leaders conducted simultaneous visits to the border, underscoring a critical issue in the run-up to the November's election. Biden made his remarks while in Brownsville, Texas, situated across the Rio Grande River from Mexico.
U.S. President Joe Biden and his likely election opponent Donald Trump made dueling trips to the U.S.-Mexico border on Thursday. The competing trips to southern Texas come as border security is now a top issue for voters, with 17% of Americans listing illegal immigration as the most important problem facing the country, according to a recent Reuters Ipsos poll.
This is a Joe Biden invasion.
In Eagle Pass, Texas, Trump sought to capitalize on the rising concern among Americans about immigration and to pin Biden's name to the issue.
Migrant crime. We call it Biden migrant crime, but that's a little bit long, so we'll just leave it. But every time you hear the term migrant crime, you know where that comes from.
In Brownsville, Texas, Biden sought to shame Republican lawmakers for rejecting a bipartisan bill to toughen immigration policies after Trump told them not to pass it to avoid giving Biden a policy victory.
The majority of Democrats and Republicans in both houses support this legislation until someone came along and said, don't do that, it'll benefit the incumbent. That's a hell of a way to do business in America for such a serious problem. We need to act.
Under pressure from Republicans who accuse him of failing to control the border, Biden called on Congress last year to provide more enforcement funding and said he would, quote, shut down the border if given new authority to turn back migrants. The number of migrants caught crossing the U.S.-Mexico border illegally hit a monthly record of 250,000 in December, but dropped by half in January, a trend U.S. officials attribute to increased Mexican enforcement and seasonal trends.
That's the midday news, and here's a recap of the headlines. After 24 years of the DLP regime, Tourism Minister Dennis Charles now says Dominica is in a promising phase with capital investments on the way.
Regional.
And she's expecting major returns in a few years.
A big station.
Haiti's Prime Minister Ariel Henry has agreed to hold national elections by mid-2025, amid ongoing efforts to secure foreign assistance to combat gang violence in the country. And President Joe Biden challenged Donald Trump to assist in removing obstacles hindering a congressional proposal aimed at reducing migrant crossing and at southern U.S. state borders. The news was brought to you compliments Scott's Dominica Limited.
Right on.
I am Felicin Valmond.